reach out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
and we are back generating a little bit more quarantine content, as I like to call it. My name is Sophie. Today I am joined by the wonderful Jessica Stenson from South Australia. How are you, Jess?
Going well, thanks, Soph.
Thanks for giving up a bit of your time on this Thursday to, I was going to call it COVID content, and I was like, no, let's not call it COVID content. Let's just say quarantine content. I know Brady's making an effort to drum up a bit more listening material for our listeners and just to reassure people that we are keeping them company and we're all in this together. And it's certainly to hear different voices, I'm sure, for everyone out there. I'm certainly smashing a lot of podcasts at the moment with a bit of extra time on my hand. So let's dive in and have a bit of a chat. It's been a little while since listeners heard from you. I think probably the last time might have been post-pregnancy and chatting with Eloise.
Yes.
So how are you?
That would have been what, in Feb? Oh, I was getting ready to do that 3K race, first little taste of the track again. So it must have been, early Feb or late January even, that one.
Would have been something like that.
Bits happened since then.
Yeah. Where are you up to? Where are you right now? What are you doing? We'll get into some of your slight marathon plans and all that stuff, but just at the moment, just a snapshot in your life from this moment.
Well, I'm currently on the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia. It's about 7 hours away from Adelaide. We had to quickly travel here for some family reasons on Dylan's side over the weekend, and so sort of quickly packed our gear and came over here, and basically just trying to work out what next. So we'll probably be here for a little bit longer, but he's able to work from home as long as he's got connection to the internet and phone service and whatnot. So he's been working, and I've just been hanging out with Billy Man and trying to focus on, the positives each day. It's certainly a tough time, and just every day's different. Things are evolving, and my race plans changed about 3 weeks ago. So my training went from heavy marathon prep phase to let's just relax for a while and just try and sort of stay generally fit and strong until we get some more clarity. So I'm certainly not training too hard right now.
Yeah, thanks for that. We'll get into that in a little moment. Not a bad place to self-isolate, the Eyre Peninsula, if we're actually talking about complying, seriously.
Little a town with a bakery, an IGA, a chemist and a pub. So it's pretty small.
Keeping safe. Jess, let's go through our weeks so the listeners get a bit of an idea of what we have been doing. Would you mind, you can go first and I'll go after you. Monday, which would have been the 16th. So Monday the 16th through to last day. Give us a rundown of what you were doing.
So on the Monday, I did a 70-minute jog. And then, so basically this week I didn't really follow my program because it was originally a big important marathon prep week. And so then I just sort of cut out my double sessions. So it was a 70-minute jog in the morning. Actually I did go for a jog that night. Riley Cox said he was going down to the beach, so I went for a light jog with him down at Henley Beach, which was nice. And then on the Tuesday morning, we modified my session. Adam came and joined me, my coach. He was on a scooter, actually, which is a good effort. Like, he's been out scooting a bit with people lately in sessions.
That's great.
He said the DOMS the day afterwards was horrendous, and he also, when he was going up a hill, hit a bit of a bump, and you know how the scooter swings around and the edge of it smacked him in the shin. So he was a bit beaten up after that session. But anyway, I did 6x2-minute efforts with floats, and then that evening a 40-minute elliptical session.
On the Wednesday, I did six. Sorry, Jess, I was going to ask, do you do 1-minute
job?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to it must have been, I reckon.
Yeah.
I didn't actually write the recovery here. But basically, to give context, Adam set up a bit of a race for us all on the Saturday, or a time trial. So this is kind of a week to taper for the time trial, which I'll get to on the Saturday. So on the Wednesday, I just did a 60-minute elliptical in the morning and then a walk in the afternoon. On the Thursday, I tested out the meta races in the morning. I went out and did some hill efforts. So I did 10 short hill efforts in the new shoes, and they felt good. So I decided I'd wear them for the time trial, and then a 45-minute elliptical in the afternoon. And then on the Friday, I just did an easy 30-minute jog. And then on Saturday morning, we went out to the uni loop, and in keeping with sort of the isolation, the distances and whatnot, Adam handicapped it. So nice. People arrived at different times, and he had a list of the athletes and their handicaps, and he'd set up a course that was 10 miles, so 16 kilometres, out along the river. And it was just a nice way to, I guess, see where we were at, because a lot of us were either preparing for the Australian Championships or, in my case, a marathon, and there are a couple of other guys preparing for various marathons around the world. So it was a way to still just get a bit of a hit out before taking it easy for a couple of weeks, and then and building back up again once we know what we're targeting. So that was actually really fun. It was a beautiful morning, and felt good just to sort of have a bit of a marathon, half marathon pace hit out. And then the next day I would usually have done 2.5 hours, but decided to do 1.5 hours instead. And I was in Oraru for that one on the way to the Eyre Peninsula, so just did it on the country roads, and
nice one.
My body's starting to feel a lot fresher now than it was two weeks ago. Yep. So, yeah.
What did you do the 16K in on the Saturday?
So it was 55:48.
Nice one.
3:29, 3:30 pace. Just trying to tune into that kind of steady, thresholdy kind of pace and get a feel for it. And
then in setting you off,
it was fun having people to try and chase down. My brother actually did the time trial as well, so my goal was to try and beat him, which I managed to do, so I was happy.
Not that, you know, sibling rivalry is still alive and well in the 30s, but that's okay.
he's
form. I was just going to ask you, with the handicap, could you see people ahead, or you were really very staggered?
We were quite staggered, and I knew I had some people close behind me. So for the first 12-13K, I was more focusing on running away from people. And then in the final sort of 3-4 kilometers, I started to see people to be able to chase. But because Jack's football season's been cancelled or delayed, I'm not really sure. I think it's just been postponed. He's doing a bit more running at the moment, so it was fun to have him out.
So your total weekly mileage last week, what would that have equaled?
I think it was 100.
About 100K. Nice.
100 kilometres in the end.
Very steady, very solid time trial in the middle. Nice one. There's a little bit I want to pick apart in terms of that marathon prep stuff that would have been going ahead, but I might just quickly run through my week and then just I've got a few questions that I know people are hanging to hear the answers to. So I'll run through this and then we'll loop into our next section, which will be what you had been planning for and some of the reasons behind that and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So my week last week, I kind of just thought, well, I was going to do Run for the Kids and I was like, well, there's no races to train for. So, and my clinical time was a lot less last week as is this week. So I was like, that's okay. I'll just do a, quarantine training camp basically. so I did, just an easy 12.5K on Monday morning around Yarra Bend and an easy 6K in the afternoon. And then I did, also Tuesday morning, we weren't in like serious, do not, you know, train with people. So I met Lydia at the Collingwood Athletics track on Tuesday morning and also Andy Sargent from Hunter. And we did a few mile repeats. Liz had six, but I did, I did 4 mile repeats. There was absolutely no chance of breaking the social distancing rules because she was a long way in front of me, so that wasn't a problem. And I just did the miles in 6:07, 6:05, 5:58, and 5:56. But that was we were kind of out in lane 2 and 3. So it was sort of more than a mile because you're sort of not running. Well, yeah, you're running more than 400 meters each lap. But it's interesting, like I still don't understand with suburban athletics tracks, this is just my little vent, when we are trying to encourage people's participation and we are trying to get people on athletics tracks and we are trying to get people to run, why they put the barriers up and block you from lane one. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me when and that's just another barrier to literally barrier to entry and barrier to people participating in it. It does frustrate me. Like I know they're preserving, I think they're preserving the lane. I don't know how that works, but it was frustrating. And I just think there's enough things in our sport, enough barriers to entry. We don't need the literal ones as well. But anyway, that's my I'll get moosed or moose on the loose about that one time. And so that was a total of...
Soap on the loose.
Yeah, that was a 20K morning and then I just had an easy 6K in the afternoon. And then Wednesday morning I thought it was an 18K loop because I was actually joining I was running Princess Park along the Capital City Trail to Yarra Bend and looping home, and I did a new route and thought it was 18K, but it was 19, so no big deal there, and an easy 5K in the afternoon for a 24K day, and then just an easy 15.5K in the morning on Thursday, and my last live yoga session inside a studio because I was sort of thinking, I don't think this is going to last much longer. So I quickly got a class in, which there was only 8 people in the class and we're all spread out. So, but now that's all been shut down, unfortunately. Friday morning, I went back to Yarra Bend Park. So I've been doing quite a lot around Yarra Bend at the moment. And that was a 14K loop and just an easy 5K at night. And then on Saturday, I did my second – I'm only doing 2 workouts a week at the moment and did back to the Fitzroy Garden session, my favourite workout, 3 2.5-kilometre intervals. And I actually did run with 3 other people, but we were quite spaced out and staggered as we kind of ran, kind of just got through the session together. But that's before – I think for me, I felt like Sunday – was the real day where I was like, holy crap, shit's getting hectic. Like, this is really getting... So even Saturday, I felt like, well, we can't all run in a big group, but I kind of thought it never really occurred to me that 3 people staggered could actually be not really kosher.
Yeah.
And just an easy jog Saturday arvo, and then I did 2 hours on Sunday, which gave me 27K. It was fairly hilly, so I was running about 4:28K pace. And so I clicked over 150... So 152 for the week. So it's quite a solid week. That's quite a lot of mileage for me at the moment. Something to be fresh for. So
so what were you preparing towards other than Run for the Kids?
Yeah, so I was basically – I wasn't going to do a marathon the first half of the year. I wanted to just – I wanted to run for the kids in March, which is, would have been the 29th. And then I didn't really have anything specific on the cards for April, but I certainly had Launceston 10K circled. I had Gold Coast half circled, and a few of the AV races, which I would have liked to have done. I haven't given up on the dream, but you know, those sorts of things. Mainly the big goals, like a 15K road, a 10K road, a half marathon road race, and with a view to run a marathon later in the year. Even before the outbreak, I didn't know which race that was going to be. I don't know what I'm going to run. I'm sort of looking into a couple of options, be it domestic or international, and obviously now we just don't know anything at all. So for me, my training now is, you know, I mean, I'm naturally just trained for the love of it, obviously. So nothing really changed from my focus. I don't really need races to get me out the door, but certainly sessions. Like, I was like, Saturday morning, I didn't really feel like going out for a workout. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't have to do this. What am I? And I was like, no. Yeah. Like, well, once you're out there and you're doing it, it's so worthwhile. And it just gives structure to the week. Like, it gives framework and structure to the week. And I feel that's really important. And I need the sessions to get me fitter. So I grumble a bit and sort of get a bit confused with what am I actually doing. But it doesn't take me long to convince myself in my mind that it's exactly what I want to be doing is the workouts.
Yeah.
The other stuff.
I'm probably just seeing that my heart rate isn't going quite as high. Like, I'm just not digging as deep. So that basically, when I found out that I wasn't racing, I've still been, you know, going out and exercising, but just, yeah, I've noticed about a 15 beat drop in my heart rate.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
When I think I'm pushing hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Jess, let me ask you a couple of questions about what led you to choose hamburgers. Let's just go back to pre-corona.
Yeah.
What point in your post-Billy training did you sort of think, you know what, I am going to – I know you had such an open mind throughout the pregnancy and postpartum, mm-hmm. but at what point did you think, you know what, I actually think with the Tokyo Olympics happening this year, I am going to throw my hat in the ring. I'm going to have a crack. And how did the decision to race Hamburg come about?
Yeah, so last time we spoke with Elsie, I mean, I had that goal of running a marathon in, it was likely to be sort of late April, the latest date I sort of could. And I went and had that sort of fun 3K race. And I found after that event, my intensity in sessions sort of picked up, and I'd sort of felt that I'd been able to keep my cardio fitness, and that was all sort of okay. But my, you know, speed in sessions was lagging a bit during my comeback, and that sort of just kick-started me in sessions, and I was able to start getting back into some sort of splits that I was happy with. And by late February, I'd basically said, okay, yep, let's find a marathon. And I think that's probably around the time when we selected Hamburg. It's one that I've always sort of had my eye on. I think Sarah Hall has run that one, and it's organized by Global Sports, and they put on a great event. I've been to Hamburg before. It's a great city. Australia's Courtney Carter. I don't know if you know Courtney. We did primary school cross country together. We went to Lyon in 2004, so we've sort of stayed in touch, and he lives there now, so I'd been liaising with him, and we sort of teed up where Dylan, Billy and I were going to stay. But as time went on, we just thought, we don't feel comfortable taking Billy over to Europe during this time. And then it wasn't long before the races were all called off anyway. So I was really looking forward to experiencing a Hamburg marathon. It seems like it's quite conducive to, you know, a fast time if all goes well. And, another time.
So that, what was your sort of that initial feeling when you heard about the cancellation? Because at that point, honestly, at that point, did you still think the Olympics are going to go ahead, but these March, April, May races are not going to go ahead? Was that your initial thought, or did you kind of have an inkling that the Olympics would probably get postponed, or you really just had no idea?
I've actually had an inkling for quite a while, Europe would – it was going to get out of hand soon. Like, once we started to see what was happening in Italy, Dylan in particular keeps a really close eye on it all, and he was just saying, nah, I don't think this marathon's going to happen, or it's going to be wise for us to go over. And then as things were escalating there, we just started to wonder how it could be possible to have an Olympics in, you know, in July. Potentially it could have been delayed, but you just know the implications and how tricky it must be to change the dates. And I'm really, hopeful that it all does, get confirmed for, maybe mid-2021. I think at least they've said now it's being postponed. It's not being cancelled. And I just really feel for everyone involved in the organisation of it and for Tokyo. It's just such a huge event, and they've done such a good job. They were going to put on a great show, and they still will. But, yeah, you really do feel for everyone and the athletes as well who have been throwing their heart and soul into it. But it needed to happen for the – I guess the global, health.
Absolutely. So realistically, there probably wasn't a huge wedge of time where you were thinking to yourself, the Olympics are happening, but I never got my chance to put my time on the board. There probably wasn't really that time in your mind.
I probably had a 2-week window where I was thinking maybe, it wasn't a long time. Yeah. And by then I was more worried about, health and whatnot. I just sport, it means so much to all of us, but I'm a lot, more worried about the world as a whole at the moment and, the economy and all of those things. So
nothing like a few mama hormones in there to just,
I know.
Something that really resonated with me, not on a personal level because it doesn't apply to me in any way, but when I read Steph Bruce, the American distance runner and a friend of yours, her post just recently, and she just called out a few of the people that she felt this whole, situation would be affecting. And I really appreciated from a female perspective how she said to the women who, and I'm not quoting this verbatim, but it was something along the lines of, to the female athletes or the women who plan their parenting and their fertility and their motherhood around Olympic cycles, I feel for you.
Absolutely.
I was like, that's really... Yeah. It's not a global problem, and there's a lot more. We understand there are much, much, much more dire circumstances right now, and way bigger problems. And I'm not saying that there are not, but I read that and I thought so true to those women who would have thought, I'll run the trials or I'll run a race or a qualify and then I'll do the games, and then late 2020 we start a family or we try for another baby or it really is a big thing. I just read that and I thought, that's a nice thing to say.
There would have been Emily Seabone was on the news last night. She'd planned her retirement, and I know that's the case for different athletes, to occur in the middle of the year and then to try and change your mindset or stick to that and just say, well, this is what will be. It's there are some big decisions that, need to be made by people. It's it affects everyone in so many different ways.
It really does, yeah. So I dare say at the moment for you it's a case of, as you say, backing off the throttle a little bit, keeping fit, and you're just waiting and seeing, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So I guess training for a marathon whilst mothering Billy and breastfeeding and going through a 4-month sleep regression at the time. It was very tiring, and so I decided I would just back off for a while, let my body recover, and then try and use that training that I'd banked just to form the base for another preparation at some stage. So, yeah, I think I'll have this kind of 2 weeks and then I'll need to set myself some little targets. But obviously we just don't know whether we'll be able to run outdoors, you know, going forward, or whether it'll be treadmill training. Just see how the situation unfolds.
Yeah. Last question, Jess, before we move on. What did your mileage get up to when you were genuinely thinking that you're going to be running Hamburg in, I think the race is April. So when you thought you're going to be running Hamburg and you, you know, blinkers were on and you were destined for Hamburg, what did you get the mileage up to? Weekly mileage.
So I'd had a couple of 140K running weeks, but that was with a lot of cross training on top. So I don't know what it would have been equivalent to if you try and add up the cross training. So less running than a usual marathon prep, but I felt, yeah, like the cross training had been really effective. I was actually enjoying it, just putting on a podcast and getting in the zone. I was enjoying listening to some of the stories of athletes getting ready for the US Olympic trials and really following that process, and then to follow the trials. And yeah, it was a bit of fun, but it must be strange for those athletes who only 3-4 weeks ago had that kind of high, and then this situation.
Yeah, for sure. And your body was feeling good. Like, obviously, Billy was, you know, born at the start of November. So you were December, Jan, Feb, like sort of 4 months postpartum and feeling pretty good, I presume.
Yeah, I was. I guess I just felt generally fatigued. Like, I had to be a lot smarter with, I guess, recovery where I could, and the nutrition and trying to get the sleep. But because at 16 weeks, Billy's sleep sort of got a bit more complicated. He just was waking up a lot more during the night. That was, you know, making me a bit tired each day. But generally I was feeling, good again and really fired up. So I guess I take confidence from that going into the next phase. Hopefully I can, you know, continue being a little bit more, I guess I was listening to my body more than I would previously, and that if I wasn't quite feeling right, I would back it off, or I would switch up a run for a cross training session. It's something I've been, you know, reluctant to do in the past, but it seemed to be working really well. I could get more out of my sessions. So I think I've certainly learned a lot from this first 5 months postpartum.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing all that, Jess. Some of that, you know, personal questions and that there. I know there's a lot of listeners out there who have thought of you a lot, for sure. I'm certainly mindful of yourself and the likes of Millie and runners who genuinely wanted to get a time on the board and were effectively deprived of that when we still thought the Olympics were going ahead. And that's a really hard thing to grapple with because it's completely out of your control. So thanks for touching on that. We've got some listener questions from the Instagram, from both Instagram and Patreon. I'm just going to read one out and we'll tease it out together if that's okay.
Sure.
Jess, what are your thoughts on the Zwift, that's Z-W-I-F-T, the Zwift run on the treadmill if we get locked down? Thoughts on the Zwift run on the treadmill if we get locked down to not leaving home for exercise? Does that make sense? So Zwift is that brand.
What's Zwift exactly? Is it like everyone does like a virtual race or something?
Is it the thing Gwen Jorgensen uses? Do you follow her? I think it might be that
I
thing.
I do, but I haven't.
Yeah. So this person's clearly going to get a very – I think we've just answered the question because we don't really clearly know what it is. This is what I think it is. I think you link it up and you can do it with cycling as well, and you stare at a screen and then it's – I don't know if it's so much as a – oh, it might be a virtual race, but it's literally like – perhaps it is a virtual race. But, it, you know, you can see yourself. It's kind of animated. Like, it's not like photographic. Yeah.
So it's like you as a cartoon up on the screen and maybe other runners who are running on their treadmills out on the track with you kind of thing.
I think
on your screen. That would be really cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Could feel like you hook up all of your training mates and you're still out there for a run together.
Yeah, I think
It'd be good if you could actually key in specific courses and routes as well.
Yeah. I don't have any of that technology. I am thankful that I do have access to a treadmill because we live in an apartment complex with a gym that has a treadmill. So I do have a treadmill. But the best company I get is a podcast or Carl Stefanovic on the Today Show while I'm running in the morning. So I would be open to any of those sorts of technologies like Zwift, but it's not an option for me. It does sound cool, and if people are in a position that they can access that kind of technology, I dare say if we are going to be kept indoors, which I'm hoping like hell is not going to end up being the case, but do anything you can, people, anything at all that you can do to encourage people to keep moving, any form of technology, any strategy you can employ, do it, get it, buy it, use it, whatever.
But yeah,
I haven't used it before, and it's probably not something I'm going to go out and get, because I if I do run on the treadmill, something in my ear is enough for me.
Yeah, opportunities to source those sorts of things are becoming more limited as well. But yeah, I'm like you, my company is Inside Running Podcast and other podcasts, yeah. And then Billy and his rocker sometimes joins me for sessions, and he's a bit of fun to chat to while I'm ellipticaling.
It's funny because I don't listen to podcasts or music outside, but I have to when I'm on the treadmill. So it's actually, even though I despise the treadmill, at least the first 25 to 30 minutes, it's such a novelty for me to have something to listen to. And it doesn't actually spur me on or, you know, make me think it would be nice to listen to stuff outside, because I just never, ever have that desire. But I cannot be in a black room with nothing. But when I listen to a podcast, it's like, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. I've got something to listen to. Swift would be cool if you can access it, and I'd encourage that. I think it's what Josh uses when he does his cycling. And, keeps you honest.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's if people can access that stuff, go for it for sure. Cool. This person has asked, when they do sessions or workouts, what does their warm-up look like? How does this differ to races of shorter distance and then the marathon?
Mm-hmm.
You go first.
Yeah, so when I do a session, it's pretty standard. I do a 20-minute jog, warm-up 20-minute jog cool-down. It's just what we've been doing for a long time now, and I feel like that's long enough for me to warm up my legs and feel comfortable. It's probably the first kilometer you often find you're feeling quite lethargic, and then you start to find your rhythm. And then I follow that with a couple of, I guess, activation drills, a few kind of ankle roll drills, and then some skipping drills. I might do some leg swings and a couple of run throughs, and then change into my flats or whatever I'm going to wear for the session, and then do a few run throughs in those as well. When I run a 5k, I may trim that warm up down a little bit, and I'll just make my strides, I guess, a bit quicker. You know, you want them to be a bit quicker than the pace you're going to be racing at. So that's for a 5K. For a marathon, again, I'll do a shorter warm-up generally. And I just don't want to fatigue myself too much in the warm-up. And really it depends on the conditions on the day. If it's a really hot day, my warm-up's quite minimal. If it's a cold day, I'll make sure I'm, you know, bringing up my core temperature a bit. In terms of other specific activations, it depends if I've got any little niggles at the time. So if I have got a bit of a hip issue, I might do some really targeted glute activation exercises before I start my session as well.
Nice one. I found it really interesting listening to Des Linden talk about her Boston Marathon victory in those horrific, wet, cold, freezing despicable conditions. She said that when everyone was huddled around in the, well, they're kind of tents because they start way out of Boston, when everyone was huddled around and people were going out to do a warm-up because everyone was so cold, everyone thought they would need to go out and warm their body up and increase their core body temperature and do all those things that we've been taught a warm-up is, you know, what what a warm-up physiologically does. And she said she just thought, why am I going to go out and just get saturated wet and overexpose myself? Yeah. And so she sat in the tent. She goes, no one's going to go out at, you know, she would have said the mile pace, but I'm thinking like 320s. No one would have gone out. Yeah, she's thinking to herself, no one's going to go out at 320 pace. So I'm going to have plenty of time to warm up. And she stayed inside. And I'm not saying this is why Des Linden won the race, but it's very interesting. Mm. She said, I just decided
if going to out,
stay dry.
Yeah, if going out was going to make you colder as well, like you might be running but not actually getting any warmer. So, yeah, you do need to make a bit of a decision on the day. I remember running Marigami Half in 2018 and it was snowing that day and warming up, yeah, it was it was absolutely freezing and we were wearing ski jackets and whatnot. So you felt so heavy warming up that you were kind of fatiguing yourself because we had so many layers on. It's a fine line.
Yeah. So it's obviously just about, you know, asking yourself, what am I trying to achieve? I mean, that Des is the massive, massive exception. But, yeah, like what are you trying to achieve by warming up? And I think – I don't think there's a whole lot – just in standard every day. I don't think a whole lot can be achieved for – jogging for less than 20 minutes. I think it's really good to run for at least that, like a good 15 to 20 minutes, unless you're very, very, very time poor. But 15 to 20 minutes of easy, easy running. And then everybody's got their sort of individual drills, strides, that sort of routine. And that can be dependent on what people are focusing on. But yeah, in my opinion, I would say, you know, 15 to 20 minutes easy running before any kind of session or workout. And I do exactly that for a race of any distance except for the marathon. I only run for – I just shuffle around for 10 minutes max. Maybe it's even less. But, yeah, minimum of
– occasionally for races of like, 10 to 15K, I've sort of – tempoed the last part of my warm-up, and that can be quite good too, just to really get your blood pumping. So just in the last 5 minutes or something, you just increase your pace, and then once you hit your strides, you're ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, well answered. We've been asked, whilst distancing, are you trying to develop new skills or interests? Question to ask a new mother. I'm pretty sure you're just in survival.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried some new nursery rhymes. I've been singing the same songs to Billy every day. We've got this, one that I've repeated, and it's starting to really. I think even Billy's getting a bit over it. So I'm expanding my nursery rhyme repertoire. I am hoping to get the pencils out today, do a bit of sketching if I get the opportunity. And I guess just cooking and baking. I'm a terrible baker. I don't follow recipes very well. I just sort of do a bit here, a bit there, and I'm a bit rough with what I add in. So generally my muffins and cakes and whatnot never quite turn out, but I've actually been putting a bit more effort in and made some of Elaine's superhero muffins the other day, and Dylan went back for a second one, which is a good sign. And hopefully a little bit of art here and there, but otherwise having a baby at home, there's so much to do. Just have fun with Billy, and I am finding the social isolation hard, though. I do rely a lot on, you know, catching up with friends and family and work colleagues. So I've just downloaded an app that's it's called House Party or something like that, where you can have big group chats and
nice one. Jess, we've been asked, how are they both looking after their mental health at this crazy time in the world? Do they put things in place personally to not get affected with the constant negative media? Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I guess that first moment when I wake up in the morning, I go to Billy's cot, and he's often got a bit cheeky grin on his face, and that starts the day really nicely. Dylan wakes up and checks his phone straight away. He's really onto all the, you know, updates and whatnot with coronavirus, and he can handle that fine. He can be quite
objective,
black and white about it. He can switch off and then switch into work mode kind of thing. But I think I'm a lot more emotional about it all and get anxious. So I don't check the updates. I just ask Dylan and he filters through the yep. the information that I need to know, because otherwise I do just walk around all day feeling this background stress. So I've been trying to just have a few little projects each day. So it might be whatever my training is for the day. I'm finding that's really helping me to cope mentally, just having that opportunity to clear your head, get some fresh air. And then I guess a project might be even just, you know, cooking something special for dinner that night, or, yeah, doing some sort of household job, whatever it may be. I think just having a little something that you can tick off for the day, and might even be a bit of professional development for work, or I've got some books that I plan to read. But it is when you've got a baby at home, you sort of can't focus on any task for too long. So I sort of loosely have those plans and then just see how it all works out. So mainly my positivity is, yeah, hanging out with Billy while Dylan's working, and then we try to go for a walk together or do something when he finishes work.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing you say about the way we consume news and media. We're in this time now where we can consume so much, we can consume it all of the time, and it can be a serious burden on our thoughts, on our feelings. And there is so much out there, and right now not much of it is that good, if we're going to be honest. But overconsumption I actually don't think is extremely helpful for people. We need to know what's going on, we need to be informed, but our mental health is so critical right now, and it is so real to not only be feeling anxious at this time, but I was listening to a really interesting podcast discussing this exact thing yesterday about a sense of grief. You know, we're grieving what 2020 might have been, and we're grieving what, not all about like what we've missed out on, it's nothing like that at all, but it's like we're grieving our old life in a way, and we're worried about the people who
and just sick. not being able to keep going.
People who are sick, people who have died, and I don't know if you were about to say they're not being able to help, or a sense of helplessness, which are all very real. One little strategy I've started to employ is I'm following, and I would really warmly encourage people to do the same thing, because it helps me every day. It's an Instagram page, and it's called The Happy Broadcast. So that's the_happy_broadcast. And they call themselves...
I haven't seen that one.
It's called Anxiety Free News. It's a counter hate and fear project that features positive thoughts around the world. And it just talks about... It's very, very corona heavy at the moment. But prior to that, it was, you know, climate change and other things. And it just allows you to tap into some of the things that are going on, that there is actually some good happening out there. There is some good stories. Today they talked about the 4,500 retired doctors and nurses who have come out of retirement in just 48 hours to support the UK's national effort to tackle the virus. You know, like just the good news stories and where they're up to with the vaccination, and the countries and cities that have recorded no new cases in X number of days. And it doesn't mean that we just close our eyes to reality, or close our eyes to what's really happening, and it doesn't make us delusional or disillusioned with what's going on, but it just gives you that one instant little couple of seconds of your day where you can go, okay, so it's mostly bad, but it's not all bad.
That's it. No, you do really need to focus on all of the things that, you know, you're really fortunate to have in your life. And actually Susan Crummins has a little 30 days of gratitude going on her Instagram, and it's quite funny seeing some of the things she's put up. She had herself writing on her board with in a tiger onesie the other day, saying she's grateful for a tiger onesie.
Yeah, and encouraging people to do that, and that's awesome that other people have caught on and they're finding their own sources of gratitude. And it's been said on this podcast time and time again in recent weeks that we are the lucky ones. We can get out and run. You know, it's not our team sport that's been cancelled, or our favourite gym activity, or our favourite spin class. Like, we can still do one of the things that we love, and it's completely acceptable socially at the moment. And, you know, I do write programs for a small number of people. Most of them were previously patients of mine, and I've just sort of kept going with it. But with less clinical hours at the moment, I'm doing more program writing for people. And I'd encourage anyone, if you are struggling a bit with your training and your motivation and you want to reach out, you could easily just drop me an email and I can give you a bit of a hand with where you're up to with your training and just give you some suggestions and some, encouragement. And if anyone needs that, so I can pop my email down the bottom at the end of the show and people can reach out, because the most important thing is to control what we can control, and we can control the exercise that we do and the activity, and that has such a flow-on effect to our overall health.
And you can really feel like you're making progress. Like, running is, you know, one of those objective sports where you can see your results and see yourself making progress. And I think it's really important through this kind of stagnant feeling phase to feel like you are progressing.
Yeah, for sure. Jess, a couple more. What mobility/prehab do you generally do, considering that you run high mileage? Mobility and prehab.
Yeah, I really just go by feel. So if I'm feeling like something isn't balanced, I guess you get very tuned into what's normal and then what's not. I'll if it's generally an ankle or knee thing, I'll check my tibial rotation and my ankle range and, you know, my hip flexor length and those things. And if I notice there's any tightness, I'll just make an extra effort to work on those things, for about usually 4 days, and I'll start to feel better again. If it's, around the glute, pelvic, hip area often, I'll check my straight leg raise, or, you know, just even palpate around my glutes and notice there's a tight or restricted area, or, sometimes I just stretch it out. Sometimes I do some TheraBand exercises, but it's very specific to the niggle I have at the time. Did a little bit of dry needling the other day on myself, which isn't something that, everyone would want to do, but it's nothing that I do on a routine basis. I guess I sort of try to pick anything early that doesn't feel quite right and then respond specifically to that. Otherwise I just generally do stick to that, warm up, drills session, cool down, and then I guess just nutrition for me is my kind of big one. I try to really consistently keep proactively getting lots of good things into my diet, because I think that's so important for healing and maintaining a strong immune system and preventing injury.
And mobility prehab is also, that is all tied in with regular strength and conditioning and how that looks.
So that's for me, I do that twice a week as well. So that I'll do a few warm-up drills, which, again, it's sort of how I'm feeling on the day. Following Billy's birth, I haven't stuck to a sort of an external program. I've been more just self-guided through this phase and working on areas that I really feel need to get up to speed. And then my plan was to start a structured program again, in this next phase, but that'll just be delayed a bit.
Fair enough. I feel like I'm dumping a lot of these questions on you, so I'm happy to pick this one up, and it's sort of close to my heart because it's about cross country. And this one came from Instagram, and the question is, what distances should you run during the week if your specialty is cross country? Very open question, because, you know, you've got a Liam Adams who can run close or under 30 minutes for a 10-kilometre cross-country course. And then you've got, you know, the depth in Victoria where we have people who run a 10-kilometre cross-country course in, you know, perhaps closer to 60 minutes. So interesting question, but the way that I will go about kind of answering it is, first of all, if you're thinking that cross-country is your you're going to be specific with it, I would keep the structure and the format of your week very consistent, regardless of what you're doing. So be it that perhaps two or maybe three workouts in the week, certainly a cornerstone long run of the weekend on the weekend, and a couple of easy jogs scattered in between. But in terms of being cross-country specific, if it's hilly cross-country, you know, you need to build some hills into your program, and that might be hill repetitions, or what I prefer is actually just a couple, you know, two or maybe three runs of your week on hilly terrain. So for me, living in Melbourne, that's sort of, you know, Kew Boulevard and Yarra Bend, where you're effectively never running on the flat. It's just constantly undulating all the time. And you can play around with that and get quite creative. You can run the hills hard and run easy down the hills. It's sort of makes the run a lot more enjoyable than if you were just doing straight hill reps. But if that's not really an option because of where you live, then hill repetitions are really good for people. But I definitely think there needs to be some kind of hilly kind of running in the week, at least once per week. Mm. With a second session being, you know, something perhaps shorter, faster, working on fast leg turnover, that kind of thing. But I don't think you need to turn your training on its head just because you've changed from track running or road running to cross country. The structure stays the same. You just employ the specificity principle a little bit more and tap into some of the key things that you need to be able to do to run cross country well. And then, there is no cross-country run on the road. So, you know, be it going down to your local golf course or, you know, finding plenty of terrain, that's not necessarily or not always trails if you can't get on the trails, but getting off the road to strengthen the intrinsic muscles of particularly the foot and the ankle and the lower leg to be able to handle the terrain that is cross-country. And that can be, you know, mud and all that kind of stuff, or it might just be really uneven kind of surfaces. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I would keep the structure the same and employ a few cross-country specific sessions, which is always pace change. That is the key to cross-country, is just it's not about kind of locking in, I mean, as much as we want to. It is constant pace change, and being lactic and recovering quickly and being lactic again, you know, and moving and shaking with that kind of thing. Do you want to add anything?
Well, Jess? Said.
You're
no,
a
cross
country representative.
I was going to say, that 10K cross country can be equivalent to almost a half marathon on the road in like the drain on your body. You do need to be really fit for cross country. And I think everything you said there was great. And to practice wearing the shoes that you might wear, because sometimes spikes are more appropriate. On the terrain as well.
Yeah, for sure. One last question, Jess, and then we're going to loop back and acknowledge Jen Gregson's tan record, because I forgot to do that earlier on. Last question. This person has said, it is always good to hear what books people are reading. I don't know if a new mum gets much time to read apart from nursery rhymes. I did read a funny meme one day that said, there's nothing more comical than a mother, and this could be a father as well, than a mother or father of young children who takes a book away on a holiday.
Sorry, I just got a bit distracted there. I just, little Billy's starting to get a bit hungry. And
that's
I was
right.
Just grabbing my book that I'm reading, about to start reading. So Crawl of Fame is the next one I'm going to read. It's Julie Moss, and it's that Iron Woman who, yeah, basically was she hit the wall big time and ended up crawling to cross the line. Aww. It was Conan 1982. So that's my next one. But I'm currently reading a book called Gut, which is fascinating. It's just talking about the workings of the gut, more of a physiology kind of book. Cool. Yeah, so they're my two at the moment.
Nice. Mine's very different. I'm reading a book that was recommended to me by a patient who is an avid reader, and it's called Syria's Secret Library, and it's the true story of how a besieged Syrian town found hope. And it's basically like there is so much drama in the Middle East, but this – oh, I can hear Billy.
Yeah.
We'll be super quick. We'll wrap this up so he can get some food. a besieged Syrian town, like there was a secret library underneath, under the ground, and it's just an incredible story of,
yeah, wow, like
the bleakest of times, but people coming together and sharing stories, and it's, yeah, it's very interesting. Anyway, we're going to let you go so you can feed that little baby. But we did forget to acknowledge at the start the pretty amazing thing that happened on Tuesday morning in Melbourne. Jen Gregson ran the fastest ever time for a lap of the tan by a woman, breaking Sarah Jamison's record of 11:57 by running 11 minutes and 54 seconds, which is absolutely scintillating.
Smashed it.
Did it with Sarah Billings pacing her, and then a very fast finishing Ms. Sinead Diver hot on her heels.
Sinead too. Incredible work by her. Obviously Jen's time was the record and phenomenal run, and then Sinead as well, to run that sort of time given the training I'd imagine she'd be doing. It's huge effort by all of those girls, and some exciting running news in Australia with the other sort of announcements of cancellations and whatnot. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, like Sinead's time, I honestly don't think anybody would have ever run, and this is kind of what I'm about to say is only relevant to, particularly Victorian runners who can relate to it, but I don't think any woman would have ever run as fast at the Athletics Victoria Tan Relays event that's been held every single year for as long as I can remember, decades.
Yeah.
Sinead's 12:08, I doubt anybody has ever run that fast at that. At a race, like a pace race with all the men around you. And she's come out on a leafy Tuesday morning. She had Jen to kind of follow, but that is a scintillating time for a marathon runner. I mean, take nothing away from Jen, but this is Jen's specialty. Like, this is what she does. Congratulations to Jen. That's a remarkable effort, and to the crew who supported her down there. We think that's really cool. And like, I don't think it's out of place to be celebrating things like this, you know, in this grim time. Like, you know, we're not forgetting the people who have lost their jobs, and we're not forgetting the people who are just in such trying times. We're simply just very quickly shifting the focus and going, well, this is important to us because it's what we love, and it was a great time, and I'm sure that time will fall again, but right now we take our hats off to Jen for that amazing effort.
Yes.
All right. Jess, let's go so that you can feed Billy. Thank you very much.
I'd better scoot. Thanks for the chat, Soph, and stay strong, everybody.
Yeah, we'll get absolutely. For sure. Thanks for your time, Jess. See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.